Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
8 milligrams or 8 years of age?
Yeah.
There it is. Thanks for yes ending. It got a little real. Just
I'm waiting for this.
It got a little real. It got a little real, and I'm still hot.
I didn't know that was a thing. It was fun.
You can do it.
It is. It makes yeah.
And I was live commenting, and it did feel cool.
It
made it feel legit.
Yeah.
And it is legit.
It is legit.
Netflix just doesn't. There's no dashboard. You can't upload stuff. I get
Do
it.
You like having more access to the numbers when you can refresh on YouTube and see that views have gone up X or
I do.
Or does it drive you crazy?
It doesn't.
I think it's inverse.
I like this guy.
He's calling you out for who you really are.
Hold on.
It doesn't.
Really?
But I'm 47 years old.
Okay.
When you're me.
You look great.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Yeah, what's the secret?
How do you keep that hair?
What's the secret?
Do the hair commercial.
Modern mammals.
There it is. There I knew it.
You have the right hair for it.
Thank you.
Modern mammals?
Straight hair. It's a shampoo I like. Don't fucking make me suck my own dick on camera.
Do it.
You might have.
Holy
Listen,
fuck.
You're on the right podcast.
Dude, I was not expecting you to be that.
Really?
Yeah.
What?
I mean, that's crazy.
At 47?
And then I die.
Your leg just
trying
shoots
to
off?
Suck your own
Goes
dick.
Viral.
That's what
Dude,
viral.
That's what we're doing here.
Tubi. Viral moments. We're on Tubi now.
Is that fear of God?
Yes. Just so you know, this is an audio podcast.
Okay.
Or when you do it, kind of put it in more towards the back. Your uvula. Yeah.
How did this brand do it?
What do you mean?
If I came to you,
go ahead.
You guys are venture capitalists.
Okay.
And I say, I want to start a clothing brand called Essentials. And they're like, okay. And then they go, wait, fear of God. Why would that be popular?
I'll tell you why. Because there's 19 wars and everyone's scared of everything. So they go, fear is a good motivator. And God, who knows?
This is you bullshitting again with the pharaohs and the beans.
I don't know what's happening. I don't know what's happening right now.
In my head, this shirt is for God, but it sounds like it's anti-God.
This is for God?
Because I
believe in one God. Zoom in, clip it.
It's this pod.
Monotheism. Yes. I'm not a quad theist.
Scientologist. We've talked about
it. We know science, theology, Scientology. Then don't look at it or I hit you in the nuts.
That's like the old
Tom Cruise. Yes.
Tom Cruise.
Mission Impossible.
Capital of Thailand.
Maybe
Bangkok.
He's talking about God.
Fear of the mission being possible.
Exactly. Is it or is it not?
I mean, there have been 8 of them in every single time they've done it.
Yeah,
is it time to rebrand? Did you stop riffing? Are we riffing?
Yeah,
over
are we out?
I'm not a big movies guy, so I'm over here.
You don't know about Mission Impossible?
No, I'm thinking Fast and the Furious. They're on number 13
you are,
right now.
This is why you have that mass appeal, bro. That's why you got that mass appeal.
And what is that?
Mass,
I'm
are talking about
trying
church?
To be Mission Impossible. You're out there trying to be Fast and Furious, and that's why. You got that mass appeal, Playboy.
Yeah, but what you just did right there is you just earned yourself a sponsorship with
LaCroix.
On the dot.
It rhymes with boy.
Epstein.
And your special, Silly Silly Fun.
Boy.
Silly Silly Fun.
Epstein.
It's what,
The only wish you want to be on this year is who watched Silly Silly Fun, boy? Thanks for letting me get it out.
Yeah, we did. You
know
did
when
it.
You're wearing a jacket with a shirt under it and it's not removable, it's too tight?
I think we do now.
That's it.
You can take it off.
Yeah, that's good. You want to derobe?
I'll do it when I want.
I want you to do it right now.
It just says fear of Jesus Christ on my shirt.
Oh God,
fear the Holy Ghost. That's what it says on my loins.
Holy Ghost.
Can you pitch it to me? Why does fashion work? Why is Under Armour like a branch of the American government, like the military? You see these fucking white guys at the airport?
Okay.
Yeah. They're wearing head-to-toe Under Armour. I'm like, is that the branch of military you're in? And when did the American flag become like, there's guns and the Punisher skull? Right. Like, what happened? We used to be hot dogs and BJs under the bleachers.
I think
now we're at the airport scaring people with the fear of God.
It's because they don't have anything with them at the airport. They've lost all their, they can't bring their gun, they can't bring their car, so they have to wear it on the outside. I've always said this New York, mass appeal. You don't have cars, so you have to wear your outfit, you have to wear your luxury on you. That's why people are stylish in New York, because they don't have a car. They have to, like,
that's true.
Taunt that it. Is their car.
They have to flaunt. Yes. Right. So at the airport, because dads love to go full Trader Joe's mode or full, like, Make America.
One of those. Yeah. You're either TJ or BJ.
Yeah, there it is.
Underneath the bleachers.
And sometimes a CJ. But I don't know why.
What is a CJ? Cock job?
We'll find out.
All right.
Let's cut to a commercial.
Go ahead. I don't know why. No, we're on Tubi. There are no commercials.
It's for PJs.
I just don't know why dads feel like they have to wear their most opinionated outfits.
Bro, men, everyone does it. But men in particular, once you notice that guys are just wearing, and we're all three of us doing it in our own way.
We're doing it right now. Yeah.
A jersey of a player and saying, I'm like this guy. We're so fucking stupid that you see someone with Michael Jordan on their shirt and they go, that guy's amazing. Just by association. Because that's what we're doing. We're pattern recognition machines. And we go, that guy's wearing Michael's sneakers. And it works.
I think we
it just fucking works.
I think we just want to be feel safe. And we want to be part of a community.
That's
so if you're wearing a jersey.
You on my podcast?
I think we should.
What do you want?
I just invited myself on your podcast.
You already do it. We just released
it. Very fun.
It's on Tubi.
Shut up. We did it. Tubi. Where have I been?
Not you were Tubi. There. You were already a fave episode. I love this. I got a guest. I got a fucking spot. Silly, silly fun boy.
Yeah.
Keep going.
You know the end of this.
What you're saying.
We just want to feel like we're part of a community. So if you're wearing a jersey and someone goes, oh, I'm part of that team. Yes. I like that community.
Yes.
You feel safe because right now we're on our phones and there's no one around us and we feel unsafe because we're not part of a village. Yes. We're part of a phone and everyone's scared. Yes. Fear of God. Do you want to buy?
This was essential. Clip it.
Right now.
Clip Preview. It. Send
Alex,
it to Fear
do
God.
It.
Send it to the essentials, people.
Yeah.
Is this?
That's okay.
I felt okay about it, but.
No. Let me tell you something.
Do I look
big,
natural?
I'm a big cross.
No, you
I'm
look great. Big,
here's Gosling and Hail Mary.
Give it to me. Can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
I'm assuming you saw it.
I did.
How was it? I haven't seen it.
I liked it fine.
Liked it fine. Because I know you're a big Gosling guy.
I love Gosling. I have no notes for Gosling.
I know this.
Let me tell you
Ryan,
something.
Ryan, if you see this, I've been flapping my gums a little bit about how I didn't love it.
Oh.
And if
playing
you
hard
see
to
it,
get, per se.
Well, I'm just kind of showing him a cheek. Just saying, like, do you want to?
Hey now.
We're at a barbecue. You want to toss a salad?
Yeah.
Oh! Oh, my God. It's Kevin Eubanks.
I don't know any of these people.
Yes, you do. Who's Kevin Eubanks band?
Oh, my God.
Who's Kevin Eubanks?
The Kevin Eubanks band.
He was on the Tonight Show with Jason Leno. Jason Leno.
Jason Leno.
Is that his real name?
Jason Bourne.
He was
Bourne.
Don't
push me in a riff nonsense.
We should.
Don't push me in a riff nonsense.
We should do it.
Don't push me in a riff.
We all love it.
Look.
Did they say Jason Bourne when he was born? Did they double up on the Bourne?
Is his last name Bourne?
Jay Leno.
Jason Bourne.
His real name is David Webb. That's a fun little tidbit.
What?
Who's?
What Jason Bourne's name isn't Jason Bourne.
Why?
It's David Webb.
But where did Jason Bourne come from?
He's in a super... If you're fucking brainwashed by the U.S. government and they teach you killing skill, they're not going to be like, and your name's Trevor Wallace. They're going to be like, and you're fucking Jeremy Renner now.
Oh.
Ooh, I hope nobody has that name taken.
What?
I hope nobody has that name taken.
I like this guy.
It makes
it worse when I said it to you and it meant so much, but then I said it to him.
It lowers the value of it.
I used to love nicotine.
And what happened?
I got off it.
Why?
Was it easy? Was it hard?
I've done it twice.
Okay.
Uh-oh.
Are you really interested?
Yes, genuinely.
Genuine?
I am.
Lee.
You know what it is I have a daughter and she vapes. I'm just kidding. I have a daughter.
Not yet.
And I just... It was like, it's not that it's not awesome, because it is.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not here to lie to you. Mm-hmm. It's fucking awesome.
It
Ripped
is.
On little pillow packs.
Clip it, cut it.
Cut it.
Pete Holmes, here for big tobacco.
I used to do Lucy 6 milligram gum.
Whoa!
Gum was fucking...
Yeah.
Right. You're up, a silly, silly fun man.
Ooh, right up my urethra.
Hey.
Uh-oh.
There you go.
You threw it.
I can't be seen with that.
Okay.
Modern
good.
Mammals
we'll
only.
Bleep
it's
it
done.
Out.
Bleep it out.
We'll put ashwagandha in your hand instead.
Thank you. Perfect. Thank you. Very nice. It sounded like I was mad. Thank you. Very nice.
Yeah.
It wasn't
great.
At all.
Somebody's getting fired for
Somebody's
that.
Getting fired, but it's not you. It's Arlo.
Lucy, listen, promo code.
I need an assistant.
Shit.
He's gone.
Shit.
Shit.
Here we go.
Go.
I loved it. What I don't, What I think, okay, I used to say, if something's addictive, that's really just code for it's awesome, mm-hmm. right?
Yes.
Because when you're on nicotine, you're like, this is awesome. Mm-hmm. But the Ryan, come pick me up.
Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Ryan Thomas, Matchbox 20.
Oh, Ryan. God,
this is driving someone crazy, but not us. There's a singer who has a song where he goes, it takes two or it used to take one. What he's talking about is there's literally nicotine reset. This is almost over. What am I, Andrew Huberman?
We could
Let's
be.
Let's hope.
Cover up the sleeves. Don't show the tats. People won't take your publishing seriously. Love a Hubes. He doesn't show his tats, though.
Goddamn. Oh, I don't know. Guess what, Stiff Socks listeners? Your boy, Michael Blaustein, is announcing a new freaking tour starting in mother freaking June. I'm going to yell the cities. If you hear your city, go get tickets right now. It's promo code freaking taste.
So tickets are on sale today, right now. They just dropped.
Code taste. Okay. Starting the freaking new tour off on June 18th at Halifax. Okay. Then Moncton. Then Ottawa. Okay. Then we're going to Juliet. Then we're going to Springfield, then Atlantic City, New Jersey, then Danville, then Fresno, then Oakland, then Sacramento, then Denver, then Carmel, then Peoria, then St. Louis, then Boston. Only one show available still left. Then Providence, Tysons. That's the DC show. Very excited. Richmond, Raleigh, Phoenix, Tucson, Los Angeles. Did you hear what I said? Yes, I'm finally doing a freaking Los Angeles show, okay? Whoa. Reno, San Diego, San Antonio, Dallas. Austin, Toledo, Ann Arbor, Toronto, Bakersfield, St. Louis, Obispo. That is it. Blogcomedy.com. Code SOX. Go get tickets. They will sell out. I love you. Bye.
Trevor Wallace, I don't really have tour dates. I have two, though. I'm going to be in London. Quick pop-up show, June 10th. One show only. And then Halifax, Canada for the Great Outdoors Festival. Please pull up. That is on August 8th. That is the biggest show of my life. Headlining a festival. So excited. August 8th, TrevorWallace.com. Halifax, London. Mr. Worldwide.
Ladies.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Wow.
Facts. Why like Mr. Rogers.
Got the sleeves. JK, Mr. Rogers did not have this.
JK Rowling.
JK Rowling.
Yeah.
Rolling on ecstasy. Listen, I thought it was just awesome. Your brain loves it. It's a stimulant. It's a peak state for writing, creating. It was great for performing. I'm not taking any of that away. What I don't like about it is your brain literally grows more nicotine receptors. Let's say you have four. Mm-hmm. Your brain is born with four nicotine receptors. Okay. You start using it. Now you have eight. Then you have 16. Like, it's just making more. This is why you crave more to get the same effect. This is all fine, by the way. It's like, who cares? Get addicted to coffee. There's Starbucks everywhere. Yeah. Get addicted to nicotine. It's nicotine everywhere. Uh-huh. That's true. But the first time you like leave the house and you don't have your nicotine, mm-hmm. I'm going to be real. You feel like a bitch. You're a bitch. You're a fucking bitch.
Why are you a bitch? Because you're a bitch.
Because you're beholden to something. Mm. Your good mood is now outside of you. And I don't want anything like essential, fear of God, to me.
Good callback.
To be outside of me. So I use my daughter as a motivator to go, like, I just don't, like, let's be real. Neither of you guys, you're both fucking finger banging under the fucking, getting fucking bleed TikTok.
I'm glad you saw that, yeah.
Yeah. When you look at us, you think of that. Yeah.
You guys are just fucking.
Yeah, I talked to Mama earlier today. My mom said the exact same thing. My mom was like,
I know. And she gave me a recipe for a great bolognese.
Hey, bitch. I don't call my mom a bitch. Sorry.
Great lady. Nice lady.
You're coming on the pod. You're coming on the pod.
You're a nice lady.
Anyway, I didn't want my daughter to see her dad. And it's not about, when I say bitch, I'm just trying to make it funny and a little bit more interesting than just saying, like, I don't want to be beholden to anything.
Yep.
And when I quit the first time I ate like one of those feed bags of Reese's Pieces.
Yeah.
Because you realize the system that's at play. And this isn't anti-nicotine. It's just know what you're getting into. It's a dopaminergic.
Okay.
It's dopamine. It's triggering dopamine. So it's just another fucking thing. It's another way of scrolling. It's another way of eating sugar.
Oh, shit.
It's another way of looking at pornography. It's another way of, you're just going into your brain and going, ah, nah, 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 and that's fine. Until you realize, like, wait, this corporation that doesn't give a shit about me is taking all this money, but more importantly, they're hijacking a reward system of my brain that usually reserves those chemicals for what? When you go on a jog, when you watch a sunset, when you have a loving, meaningful conversation, when you have a good set, when you listen to good music. That's what dopamine, that's what adrenaline, that's what endorphins are for. Your brain is trying to coax you into the juice of life.
Right.
But instead, you're throwing in a piece of gum. That's good to a point, but I'm an addict. Peter Attia, Epstein list. Peter Attia used to be, he was. But he was like, you can do dead? Eight. What's that?
He's dead?
He's dead. You can
do good for him. Yeah, yeah. Bad guy.
He was like, do 8 milligrams of nicotine a day. That's the number. And I was like, great, I'll do it. Because this brain fucking scientist guy said.
On a podcast or in a book?
Something. Who cares? He's jumping up on a box. He's flying on a private jet.
8 it is. 8 milligrams or 8 years of age.
Yeah. There it is. Thanks for yes ending. It got a little real. Just
I'm waiting for this.
It got a little real. And I'm still hot.
It's hot in here. The AC goes everywhere but this room.
We can't. You'll see them.
Let me see them.
Is that your one flaw? Big nipples, big areolas?
Oh, I don't have those dinner plate nips. I like my nips.
Interesting.
I like my nips.
Oh.
You want to see?
I'm projecting. I hate
mine. Honestly do want to see them.
You don't love your nips? Mm-mm. Let me finish that point. He said
Peter
eight, that's the right level.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm an addict. And I like that about myself. I'm not saying that with any shame. I'm a gobble it up, eat it up, drink it up, do it
You're
up.
Gonna
I'm
do it.
It's one of the reasons I wouldn't do like a peptide thing because it calms down your hunger, right? But it kind of dampens down. It could potentially. Oh. They're looking into it. Other drives. And I like that I'm this insatiable beast. I try to use it to my advantage.
Great for work.
It's great for work. It's great for connecting. It's great right now. Like, I fucking want to devour this podcast. I don't want to be too chill. All that being said, he's like, do 8. The first day I did 8, the next day I'm doing like 39 million. Like, I'm fucking,
pieces of gum is that?
Bro, I would have like 3 pieces of the 60s in there. 666, the devil's dose.
Wow. Out of the 666. Fear
Trev, I don't think you're talking enough. I want to get you in this.
I'm waiting for this to hit. It's been a long day. It's been a long
trip.
I was in Wyoming over the weekend.
Let's wait for it.
You want me to wait for this?
Oh, you got yourself a sugar-free.
Whatever. It's just anything.
I like that can.
Is it good?
It looks like Machode.
Is that where you're at cockwise?
That's two off.
That's impressive.
It's way thicker than my dick.
This is or that is?
All I mean is my dick has a pop top. I go, I'm going to...
Ding dong.
Is that how you made your daughter? That's fucking awesome.
What'd you say?
Is that how you made your daughter?
What the fuck you said?
We start getting mad? What the fuck did you say, dude?
You feel that there was...
A little bit.
I've never actually done that, but I was like, what the fuck you said? But there was a little bit.
I felt it.
No, but it was still friendly.
Yeah.
But it was like, I want to know if I need to be offended, but I'll always... A friend of mine
it's
just went
podcast,
went to
a
comp.
It's science,
Huberman.
Yeah.
A friend of mine went to a comedy show and it was awful. And another comedian heckled the person a little bit because one of the jokes they made was like offensive, and it was. I was like, oh, it's kind of fun to be in a group. I don't agree with everything every comedian does, but I will defend. Meaning, if you made a joke that was over the line, my line. I would still defend your right to make, you know what I mean?
Of course.
Like, I know you do.
Yeah.
But when I heard about, I don't want to go into the,
the who? I don't want to go into the
Gajastamaz. It's when you realize I'm total recalling and I take my head off. Remember when that was the height of technology? You don't. You haven't seen shit.
I was
man.
Born probably.
He doesn't. Anytime, we've been doing this podcast for 120 years. Every time I read a movie,
anything.
I go, fuck,
total
he's never
recall.
Seen it.
Total recall?
Who?
Who?
What are they recalling?
That's great.
Total. All of it.
All of it.
I don't know.
It's an
everything.
It's an essential recall.
I don't
recall.
Know anything about total
it's
recall.
It's an essential recall. People are recalling. It's not even good, but it's fun.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Movie?
Fun to do. This Trump impression. It's not right. Very good, but people
all
love
you
it.
Need to know is like one or two words in his vernacular, and you feel like you can do it.
You can do it. Anybody? Trevor Wallace?
It's not good. I can hear that it's not that great.
Right. And then you hear somebody good at it, you're like, but that's like too good. It's
fun
to
Shane does it.
Shane's great. Shane's great.
He does it perfect.
I just I just like doing it. Every once in a while, I'll step in dog shit. You know what I mean?
Hey.
But is that kind of like your tick around the house? You're talking, great daughter.
I just know
daughter mine's great.
Like, the way Trump talks is funny.
It's hilarious.
Like, it's like Chappelle made that same point. He's like, why is he doing our stuff? Like you know what I mean? Like Let's Go Brandon.
Yes.
Let's Go Brandon is funny.
It's hilarious.
Somebody made that point. They were like, we're supposed to be, like, I'm not to assume everybody's a liberal. I'm just saying, like, the Democrats were always, like, the artsy-fartsy. We're supposed to be coming up with the clever stuff. Yep. And we're like, we're getting lapped. We got Let's Go. Yeah, like, if we came up with Let's Go Brandon, we would have been so smug about
it. Sleepy Joe?
No, sometimes you realize, you ever watch a roast and somebody does, like, a really elegant, complicated, brilliant roast joke, and then the other person is just like, you got titties? And you're like, God damn it.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's just, you got
just
titties.
Right there.
You got
dinner
titties.
Plate titties.
Sometimes Nips. He's old.
He's old, Sleepy Joe.
He's fun.
Crooked Kamala.
He's the funny.
Crooked Kamala.
He's great at just giving adjectives.
We had Kamala. Remember that? That fucking was not good.
Not good.
You'd see a bumper sticker with a comma LA. Yeah. And I'm like, what, an ungettable? We're doing grammar shit?
We already hate Los Angeles.
It's not
cool. Helping.
It's not cool.
My dad still writes T-O-O for every version of two.
Good.
You're not going to get him with comma. This is not the Sunday Times crossword. We're trying to change a country.
This isn't a Wordle.
This ain't a Wordle. What's next? Syntax stuff? You're going to do some algebra shit? Two ka in parentheses squared, like get the.
It is fascinating. You also see what the White House Instagram is posting. The videos they're posting is like meme level,
really
content,
hilarious. Quality.
They're good.
They're editing like Call of Duty. I mean, it's pretty insane what they're doing. They're editing Call of Duty gameplay and putting in like foreign countries in it, and they're like an edit, and they're like, this is what the U.S. is doing, and it's funny.
Wait, it's actually Call of Duty.
Yeah, gameplay, Call of Duty, but they're also showing, you know, what we did a couple weeks ago.
Yikes-a-doodle-doo
is right, but it's also funny that, like, there's an editor over there that probably came from, like, Mr. Beast's camp and was like, this guy's
That's
great,
what
let's
I mean.
Get him in.
That's what I, yeah.
So, back in the Democrat days, they just weren't posing shit to fire anybody up, I guess?
Sock talk.
Yep.
Not yet. Ed,
That's what people write in. Wop, wop, puppet.
Oh.
Mm.
Sock,
that's
talk,
we do
talk,
it.
Sock.
That's what we do it.
Stiff socks. Now on Tubi. I have a question for you.
Now forced onto Tubi.
Forced.
Hi. Apparently we're on Tubi.
Blessed.
That's what I think everybody on Tubi is like, we're on Tubi?
I don't think anyone gets notified that they're on Tubi. I think they find out that they're on Tubi.
Yeah. It's like we grew AI. That's how you emerge onto Tubi.
Yeah.
I don't know. I like it. I don't know what it is,
what
but
do you
I
got,
love Tubi. What?
What do you got?
I had a question for you.
Yeah.
I like this.
You're a silly man.
Silly, silly.
Self-proclaimed silly man. But also,
ooh, I'm going to like this question.
Great opinion you had the other day about us being characters in
you saw a book. Clip? Playboy, you see a clip?
I
think a lot of people saw that clip. Great numbers on that.
Oh,
but I think
good numbers on the clip.
That's gonna be on Tubi soon.
Please, but I love the special. It's silly, but then also you're like, God, we're not real. This planet's floating.
No,
like,
I know that. You know what? Look,
how do you talk about something like that without people? Because I was telling him about this, and he's like, I can't even think about it without getting too like disconnected.
Dude,
freaks you out. Like, right. How do you convey that to an audience? With them still laughing and not being like, what the fuck?
My wife has to remind me all the time because sometimes I
complain that those bits don't work as well as other bits. And she's like, Pete, they're listening. And I'm not used to that. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, I'm used to them listening.
Standing up.
I want feedback. Yeah. So I've just had to make peace with the fact that sometimes those bits, it's interesting. Social media, we talk a lot of, you know, it's a mixed blessing or whatever. But one of the things that social media has been incredible for me is these jokes like it's either God or nothing, or the Harry Potter joke you're referencing right here, or life makes no fucking sense. All three of those jokes are probably my three biggest viral
jokes. You're like the God guy.
The God guy.
We're crowd work guys. You're the God guy.
Yeah, yeah.
He's doing God work.
Hey!
Clip it!
Clip it!
Is that the audience you want to attract? People come into your shows, and then a bunch of atheists show up, and then you convert them back to God?
I know. That is not what's happening. Have you noticed? Let me finish that point.
You're in control.
You're in control.
He's a God man.
Sleepy Trevor.
God
willing.
All
I wanted to say was those jokes don't work that great live. That's all I wanted to say.
Interesting.
Starting with life makes no fucking sense. That joke, I would take months off from doing it because I was just like, it's slowing down the whole show. Like, nobody likes thinking about how we're on a planet.
Yeah.
I'm yelling like, we're always outside. You're always flying. When you're flying in an airplane, you're flying on a planet that's also flying. It's kind of hard to go back to dick stuff after you do that.
So
you bring it back to the special and then it goes online and everybody loves it. But these are bits. There's something really beautiful, and I want to remind every creative person in every creative field, including
teaching, or not to be.
To be, and we are to be, is sometimes things that don't necessarily work as well are your best things.
Yep.
Like, I know that's kind of weird to say, but I do want to talk about this more. What was your feeling/question?
I just was like, I guess you kind of answered that. How do you get into that without people getting so weirded out and then actually having those thoughts?
Very slowly.
Yes. Okay.
It was like I would stick my toe in the water. I think about
big feet, by the way.
Big old fucking chode.
So that's
feet.
A big toe.
This guy's got five dicks on a fucking honk. That's his foot.
Oh.
Five dicks on a honk?
Talk about a foot fetish.
walks into Foot Locker. I got five dicks on a honk.
We got five dicks on a honk. I'm going to need a wide toe band.
That's the manager of a Dick's Sporting Good.
That's true. This actually are wide. You got to get a wide bed.
Where are you
that's
at?
When you're
that's
older, when you start buying wides.
That's how you know you're old. You got to get a wider.
So you're not buying for the length. You're buying for the width.
Yeah, that's right.
I remember growing up, my mom would always go, do they have good arch support?
I never knew what the fuck
that meant. The new arch support is toe bed.
Is it?
Wide toe bed.
Wow.
Because it's how you get your grip. This is so boring. Let's go back to what we were talking about.
God.
Cut.
So.
Very slowly is the answer because I like you guys, and I'm sorry to keep bringing up that you're younger than me, but you are, and I just didn't think, I shared your opinion. I was like, you can't really do that. And then when I did, That Makes No Fucking Sense, which is a joke about how everything is made of atoms, and I had Bill Nye, the science man, on my on my podcast, and I said, why, if my hand is made of atoms and this chair is made of atoms, why do these atoms repel each other? Why doesn't my hand go through?
You think Eve is pissed that atoms are everywhere?
That's very funny.
Let's bring it back to the podcast.
That's very good.
But she has Christmas Eve.
Eve-lectrons. She got the other ones.
She did.
She got quarks is a word for vaginas. That's a subatomic particle riff. Anyway, I said, why?
Raise your hand if you know what the fuck is. I don't.
There's 11 or I think there might even
people
be
on Reddit
17
are going crazy
like
right now.
Subatomic particles.
There's 18.
It's really funny.
Okay. There's 18.
My man.
Notice?
I know you. We grew up together. We played fucking Transformers, you fucker.
East Coast?
Yeah.
That's.
Where are you from?
Maryland.
Okay, yeah.
Mm.
DC.
Good. Boston.
Yeah. I love that.
Close.
Good compliment.
Yeah, I'll take
DC's
it.
DC's a good. Are you from DC?
No.
Oh.
I'm not.
You're from some boring shit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very.
Anyway.
Atoms.
The answer to when we ask science, that this is in the bit, why don't these atoms go through these atoms, is we don't know. And that's very funny. I'm not putting down science. I think science is incredible. I always point this out. We're being filmed by science. We're being recorded and lit by science.
Yep.
I understand.
Yeah.
I am pro-science. I just think
you
it's
an
very
NDA
interesting.
With science.
I signed an NDA with science. Tubi is a huge science website.
Huge science.
People love the science. Free TV. Freebie. Just madness. We're just in a Vitamix of riff.
This is my favorite type of pod.
Me too. Okay. It's all you need. You have to listen to it twice.
Yeah.
Gotta listen to it twice.
Yeah,
in half speed.
That bit was me
without getting into spirituality or anything even close to it, just saying like, hey, can we notice that we're all in a mystery? That's all I'm saying.
Yep.
And to me, spirituality is a way of participating with the mystery. Science is a way of participating with the mystery. Same team is what I'm saying. We all, this is part of the bit, we all woke up in a conundrum.
Woke.
Oh.
Woke.
Woke. I don't know if I'm too
woke. I know what you watch at night.
What is that?
I don't know.
I love you, everything about your body, including your nips.
Yeah, season 3.
Oh.
I just wanted to, the other bit that was on that special was, I was just thinking about this, is when you check if you have to pee. I think that is the most interesting thing in the world, is just check if you have to pee.
Like, go ahead. Mentally?
Just do it.
Yeah.
Do it right now.
Okay, I just did.
What did you just do? Like, you just sent your
airdrop my
awareness.
Bladder.
Yep. You stretched your awareness mm-hmm. to your bladder. And really, if your eyes are closed, you're really just lighting up a other section of darkness.
Mm-hmm.
You're just
that you label later as your bladder, and you go 70%. Like, I'm pretty good. So I started in that special without getting into God being a word for a metaphor for a mystery, but like, without getting too spiritual, I started teasing out the idea, can we laugh about the thing, which mm-hmm. is reality? And can I, by saying we're all on the same, by saying we're all on the same side, I'm doing it involuntarily.
Not both sides.
It's not science or spirituality. We're every single fucking person that's ever lived woke up into something very confusing, in something that is a conundrum. Yet at the same time, pretty familiar. Like, why are we kind of like groovy with it? But you figure it out.
Yeah.
And we're all trying to figure out what we're doing here. And we use different metaphors, different symbols, different metrics, but we're all in the same boat. So every joke that I've done, maybe with the exception of the Harry Potter one, is me trying to say, same side, we're all confused. None of us have the answer. The answer isn't in the mind, but let's talk about it.
Yeah, and the people that irritate me the most, the people that irritate me the most are the people that think they do know. And I hate.
I would agree with
hate
that.
Hate is crazy, but I don't like, because I go, you don't get it. Like, you don't know. And for you to walk around life being like, I got it, you don't.
I agree.
I think that's a hindrance to where, like, your journey, if you think yes. you know.
Well, what's frustrating about spirituality, in my experience of it, is that it's not, the mind is not the tool that gets the job done. The understanding that we're talking about your place in this world or what's going on isn't an intellectual, it's a non-conceptual understanding. This is going to be stupid, it's almost over. Meaning you can't know the answer, but you can be the answer.
Ooh,
you can sort of
put that on a
t-shirt. You can step back. Spiritual seeking actually isn't reaching out looking for some sort of words or answer. It's actually relaxing back into what you've always and were already being, which is, science would call it consciousness, awareness. Mm. It's present right now.
Yeah.
So in religious language, we talk about that that doesn't change, that that's always there. We give these attributes to God. I'm saying when you look for that part of you in your experience that never leaves you, know that to be God.
So you're saying,
let's do some ketamine.
I'm down. I've never done it. I'm so down.
I'm not saying, it's funny because, sorry.
No, go.
This is just tricky stuff. So I do want to be clear. It's obviously classically blasphemous to say I am God. What's interesting, though, is saying I stand apart from God, that I get my existence apart from God, fear of God, essentials, that's actually blasphemy. You're displacing yourself from God's eternity. If God is eternal and infinite, but you're saying I am somehow a speck of black on his white paper and I stand apart— that's actually true blasphemy. Does that make sense? Did I lose
it,
you?
No. It does make sense. But don't you think saying that I am God is not blasphemy? Because
of course, but you have to be careful when you say things like that.
How do you say it?
I think it's just like,
you can say God,
how you say it is the thing, right?
I think
it's like I am God versus I am God.
That's actually right.
That's the difference.
You don't want to do it in like a 300. I am God and kick it.
I mean, where did he go? Dead?
He's dead.
Okay.
He's still falling, actually. The 300
still?
Guy. You don't know.
That's actually what I know.
Nice.
Gerard Butler.
You wanted to see all those regular nips.
I saw 299 and I said, let me see the last one.
Who's this guy? This guy?
Oh, yeah.
Spiegel?
And he's like, put the shield up. He's like,
Leonidas!
Yeah, I will put my shield up. Or whatever.
Harvey Dent.
He's my favorite guy.
He's our shadow.
Harvey Dent.
He's our shadow.
So, okay, going back to all this.
Can I say one last thing?
You can say as many things as you'd like.
We don't say, and I'm not saying, please don't clip me saying I am God.
Clip
or
it.
You are God. The better way to say it is God is the ground of being.
I'm God.
I'm God. God is like the ocean, and every appearance inside of it is like a wave. So a wave appears to be an individuated thing, but really its entire existence is the ocean.
Frick, frick, frick.
So you're not so insightful, so tall,
I didn't make that up.
But you said it.
I didn't make it up.
But you said it, so now that's my frame of reference.
You should have that. Because
I'll be on another podcast being like, well, Pete told him so, man. You can completely butcher it.
Honestly, you can hold on to that because that's a very comforting idea. Because what happens when a wave dies, it just kind of sizzles out and gets pulled back into what it already was. There's a great thing in, I believe it's Chinese Zen, I think about death a lot, and I think we could all use a little comfort regarding death. And they say, what happens when you die? And they say, what happens to the air inside of a vase when the vase breaks? Does the air reunite with the space around it, or was it revealed to have never been apart from it?
Buddy, I'm gonna blow my head off. That's cool. That's great.
Isn't that great?
It's great.
This isn't just great.
Yeah. I am the vase.
It's the sort of thing that we're starved for. And I'm with you. Going back to your original question, spirituality became so corny. Worse, and I'm not trying to be young here, it's the perfect word, it became cringe. It became something that was so uncomfortable. I've been that guy in a car and it's raining and I go, can I tell you about my Savior, Jesus Christ? That isn't as compelling, no shade to those people. I'm just saying as compelling as saying, like, can we talk about consciousness? Can you talk about you being a modulation of consciousness? Can we talk about you being an expression of the ocean that seems to be separate but was never separate from your source? That's interesting. That consciousness, that awareness that never changes, that isn't something you need to go to a building, a book, or a teacher. When you wake up at 3 a.m, you had too much coffee and you're anxious, you can find the part of you that's holding the anxiety, that within which the anxiety appears, and know yourself to be the screen, not the movie. That's peace. That's peace for you tonight.
Be the screen, not the movie.
Let's do some ketamine.
I've read so much stuff about this, and the funny thing is it all just comes back to the idea of being present. It's like you read this whole thing, and then you go, you close and you go, cool, so just be present. Yeah. And it's like, it's almost like, for me, it's almost like irritating. I'm like, you could have just emailed me that.
Yeah.
But I think you got to go through all the shit to realize that it's just being present. But it is wild that is it.
Well, that's what I'm talking about when I'm saying, like, relaxing into what you are.
Yeah.
So when Eckhart Tolle says, be here now, or Ram Dass said, be here now, or Eckhart Tolle talks about the power of now. When you settle into the present moment, which we can do right now.
That's what I call music.
And now that's what I call music, 1 through 17. They took a break for 18. Yep. Wasn't very on, but 19 on. Very, very good.
Yeah.
Chumbawamba came back. I'm going to talk in the regular voice, but I'm going to do some of this.
Do it.
You got to watch this on the video podcast to know why this is funny. It's on Tubi.
Great platform.
What is present when you are? What is there when you are present? It's your being. So we're talking about, when I talk about being aware of being aware, which is a Rupert Spira book that changed my life. Being aware that you're aware. That's what you're doing when you're being present. I'm all excited.
No, go, go.
We're looking for who we are, right? That old classic spiritual thing.
Yeah.
Know thyself. It's on the temple at Delphi. Know thyself. They don't mean your preferences. They mean, what are you? What are you essentially? So all of spirituality is a question of identity. So we start looking at what makes up your experience. Thoughts, your thoughts aren't always with you, so they're not essential to you. They arise and they recede. Feelings arise and they recede. Images arise. None of these are essential to me. The screen thing is a really good example. It's not what's playing on the movie. The thing that was constant was this aware, knowing screen. And again, this isn't just to win debates or to have a framework for the meaning of life. It's for when you're feeling terrified. It's when you get a bad news from the doctor. It's when you're waking up in the middle of the night. It's when you're just dysregulated. Being present is like sinking into a warm bath of what was always there and knowing that to be yourself. And you could say knowing that to be God.
Yeah, it's fascinating.
How do you turn that into comedy?
That's more interesting. I feel like I've been talking about this too much. So that's a great segue into something a little bit broader. And I mean that in the best sense. How do you make that funny?
I'm always looking for something like the Harry Potter joke. I haven't really talked about that because it just came out.
And it's controversial.
Is it?
I don't know.
People are like controversial. There's
because think about who wrote it. You know, like I don't.
Well,
think-
J.K. Rowling.
I'm joking.
Well, it's funny that you say that. Me picking Harry Potter as the example was one of the ways that I was like, oh, I could make this funny because I know there's a tension when you bring up J.K. Rowling and you bring up Harry Potter. So there's the double kind of meaning of the punchline. Some of us are mad at J.K. Rowling. Some of us are mad at God. Some people do feel mad at God. And then people do feel mad at J.K. Rowling for all the controversy with the gender stuff, which I understand. But I was just... You'll look at what's happening is I really want to talk about reality. And I say, my friends really did say there's no evidence for God here. And I was like, it's weird that I agree with you. There's no evidence. Mm-hmm. You could also say there's only evidence. The Sufis say everywhere you look is the face of God. I would agree with that. But you could also say you're not going to find evidence. I used to say this line, I cut it from the bit, but I was like, what are you looking for, giant footprints? Like, is that really what you think would be evidence? Like a hair, like a huge hair?
Mm-hmm. Like, you ever seen the Grand Canyon? That's God's footprint. Good night.
Statue of Liberty winks at you. But I am that level of dumb where I need to see something to be like, there it is.
Yeah, but what the actual miracle is what that with which you are seeing. Do you understand what I'm saying?
The fact that our eyes are working?
The fact that you're registering what your eyes are seeing. What your eyes are seeing is known.
We're spoiled. Yeah. We should have to earn eyesight throughout years and
so you're saying we should be like iPhones and we should collect
get upgrades. Yeah.
We should evolve.
We did.
Because for the most part, you're born with everything you're going to need, and
you're born with everything that a human being needs. For all we know, there are senses that we could be sensing things that are happening that we can't, that we're not privy to. You know what I mean? We happen to have,
and I think we do actually.
McRib.
I think we have McRibs.
Yeah.
And we have Arch Burgers.
Holy shit. That is proof of God right there.
There it is.
But when my friend said there's no evidence and I agreed, I wanted to find the way that he was right, but also represented my perspective. So I said, you're not going to find evidence. And then, my teacher, Rupert Spira, who I love, uses the movie and the screen. I was looking for an original way to say that. So I said, we're like characters in a book looking for evidence of the author inside the book. And then to get a laugh, I say, God, I hope you're stoned. That's an old standby for me. I like saying whatever profound things and then saying, God, I hope you're stoned. It's a nice release.
Mm. Yep.
Then I say it again. We're like characters in a book looking for evidence of the author inside the book. Now, this is where I didn't read a lot of comments. I saw some comments where people were just completely misunderstanding what I was saying.
Yeah.
I'm talking about reality. I'm asking you to consider that Harry Potter in the book, his reality is J.K. Rowling's mind written onto the page.
Right.
So he borrows his reality from J.K. Rowling, meaning this is the wave in the ocean again. Harry Potter in the book has no reality other than what J.K. Rowling, her reality is his reality. And now I'm confusing myself. This is getting weird. I'm actually still tracking. I just think I'm not saying it as clearly as I could. So he borrows his reality from the only reality there is, which is J.K. Rowling's mind. He doesn't have a mind. He's a character in a book. But he borrows it from her mind, which is real.
So are you saying do you think that we don't have free will?
I don't think we have free will. And I think you should be really excited about that.
Okay. Talk. Can you imagine
the unspeakable joy of being off the hook, to being just a part of an entirety? Think of a impossible steampunk brass gear system that is, or a fountain that is just undulating. And you're not just a visitor in that. You are an expression lawfully unfolding as you, as me. Not only does that let you off the hook, but by the way, I think you should act as if you have free will, but deep down, it lets your parents off the hook. It lets your enemies off the hook. It lets you ease up and just go, thing is just thinging itself.
Yeah.
In the same way that my dog bites when he has an itch, I, eat ice cream when I'm stressed. Like, it's just, look at me go. And then the mind goes back and goes, no, I decided to go up and get ice cream. And it's like, sure, that doesn't mean we shouldn't treat each other beautifully. I think we should. But I think in the ultimate analysis, you could say we don't have free will, but we should behave like we do.
I'm gonna do a quick little offshoot and we'll go back to this. I just wanted to say this to you because I didn't say this up top. and it's just been in my brain, and I'd like to say this to you. You're looking away from me. What's happening?
I just couldn't believe that there's like nice USB and I like this table.
Yeah, but that was pre-planned by J.K. Rowling. I'd like to say this, though.
Rowling.
Is it Rowling's?
Yeah, we are.
All right, shit.
I'm back.
We're on tube, and we're back.
J.K.'s on MDMA.
So, you don't know this. You're a comedy hero of mine.
Oh.
Very much so. And I really appreciate you and your comedy. This you've done true. A lot. You've done.
I don't like my condescending. Oh, can you say it again?
Sure, yeah. Absolutely. Let's make this more about
a little.
You.
No, I know.
No.
Give me another take.
You want another take?
Yeah.
All right. Are we good? J.K. Rowling's? Okay. Listen, do you know John Mulaney? He's a really big comedy hero of mine.
That was fantastic.
And his second favorite is Pete Lee.
Are you Pete Lee? No, I think he sucks.
Do you get that?
No, I'm joking. He's the best. To say if you don't like Pete Lee is crazy. You chugged out like it was a Bush Light.
You said that you were celebrating. You're like, yeah, I am a favorite fucking comedian.
You do look like Pete Lee, though. I mean, is that right?
I hope not.
No?
Do you know who Pete Lee is?
Pete Barely, I guess.
Oh, shit. Do I not know who Pete Lee is?
Pete Lee?
Do I not know who Pete Lee is?
Yeah. You kind of look like
him. Oh, yeah. I know. I'm joking. He's a friend of mine. He's fucking awesome. I love him so much. So let me get back to Suck Your Dicks. I'd like to tell you this mildly amusing story.
Yeah.
So comedy hero of mine. Awesome.
Thank you. You
gave me the license to feel okay about being incredibly silly and being myself.
I made the same sound, but I meant it both times.
Yeah,
we'll fix it in post.
Yeah, we'll fix it in post. We'll do it.
Oh, baby. Yeah. Boo.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, sucking my own dick.
Oh, yeah. We have the meats. Action. I don't even know. We got the meats. We got all of them. So I'd like to thank you for that.
Oh, yeah.
By the way, literally from the bottom of my heart, literally, because I started in New York. And it's all holding the mic stand and being like, hey, bitches ain't shit, whatever it is. So it's nice to have a license to be like, no, I'm not that guy. I'm a silly person.
Yeah, yeah.
I like to talk about weird stuff.
Right.
And it's okay. I like to move my body and make noises and it's fine.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So thank you for that. The second humorous thing I'd like to bring up is this. You don't know this, but about, let's say, 3 years ago.
You saved my life.
You did. Yeah. I was in a car.
we were the jaws of life.
We were on an ad call, and I was so excited. Do you remember
What's
this?
An ad call.
Well, it was like for
advertisement.
Podcast? I don't want to say who it is, but we were on an ad call, and I was so it was for
you were on it too.
Yeah, you were on
Why?
It.
Oh, you were also representing this podcast?
I was on the call with you. You were representing yours. I was representing.
I remember this. Yeah,
representative.
You really?
I remember that.
House of Nations.
All right. Yeah, yeah. So I don't know what I said, but you like mildly giggled. I got off the call and I was like,
crushing.
For 2 days, I was like, I made it. I fucking made
great.
It. And I just like, you didn't know who the fuck I was at the time, but like,
love this.
I didn't want to go on this podcast and not. Give
you
your flowers.
There's several reasons why I love that you told me that. But number one is it's just so beautiful to remember, like, what an impact we have on one another.
Mm-hmm.
Correct. So I don't spend a lot of time thinking about how we don't have free will or whatever, or whether or not that's true, because it's disempowering. I would rather lean into the idea that, in my experience, it seems like I can choose to open up or relax or be generous or whatever it might, or listen or engage. And that's really empowering. And in this world where I really feel like so much is just never ending waves of just what's happening can really make us feel disempowered. I'm not a big, like, that's what they want, but that is a position that benefits a lot of people selling stuff, meaning doom scrolling, meaning like tragedies, meaning like fear. Gets you primed to buy shit.
Yep.
So that's why that shit gets pushed through the algorithm, right?
Mm-hmm.
Opinions, takes, fucking bullshit. And some of it, it might be valid. Some of it might be masquerading as valid. You know what I mean? It might be like jumping to a conclusion too quickly, but let's get it out there. Why? Because when you're feeling dysregulated and afraid, you're way more likely to buy an apparatus that you breathe into and it tells you if your metabolism is ready for sugar or not. Like, it's fucking bullshit. So we start feeling like automatons. We start feeling like cogs in a machine.
I don't know what an automaton is, sorry.
Automaton is just like a mindless robot.
Great.
So like like a crane at a that makes cars. You're just
right.
You just do what they tell you to do. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that I find to be the antidote to that is to just remember the incredible, so your story, your incredible influence that you have over other people. Mm-hmm. This is a weird plug, but I wrote a book called Spells to Cast on Your Parents.
Cut that out, please.
Cut this out.
Cut that out. Just that part right there.
Like a vine. Like a vine, a six-second vine. The reason I wanted to write a story called Spells to Cast on Your Parents, which is available for pre-order now, just loop that for six seconds. Six or seven.
All right, wait for it. Okay, we got
it. We're back.
Yeah.
Is because I'm very interested in priming. There's something called priming, which is a fancy word, a social science word for if I am kind to you, you are more likely to be kind to others. Mm-hmm. The example that I like to, my friend Mike McCargue told me about this. They did this study where they had people walk in, two groups. They had people walk down this hallway, go in this room, and there was magnetic poetry in there. And they said, make a poem, whatever poem you want to make. And the people thought that they were studying what kind of poems people made. Obviously, so would I. So would you. And it's some sort of poem study. Then you left. So the first group got words in their magnetic poetry, like swift, fast, rapid, quickly. The second group got words like lethargic, slow, dreary, trudging, all these different things. They weren't studying the kind of poems the two groups made. They were studying the pace that they came in and the pace that they came out. How quickly or slowly did they walk back out of the office? And the group that got words like quickly walked quickly. And the people that got words like drudgy or whatever, slow, lethargic, walked slowly. There's other examples of this. They had, this one's even more interesting. They had, this was like in a park. They had people come up. You're sitting at a park at a fountain, and a guy comes up to you. Yeah, getting character. I've seen you act very good. Big kill coming out. No sound effects. I'm just kidding. The guy that told you it's okay to be silly. Stop it. He comes.
Stop her.
So this guy comes up, and I hand you, I want to tie my shoe. So I go, can you hold my coffee? Mm-hmm. And you take it. Then I tie my shoe. Then I take my coffee, and I walk away. That's all that happens. Two, the control in this is the temperature of the cup. Mm. Some people get handed a hot cup, meaning like pleasantly warm. Some people get a cold cup. The people that got a hot cup described the guy as warm. They went up and said, that guy that came up and asked you to tie his shoe and hold it, can you describe him? And they were like, he was a warm person. There was something about him that was warm. The people that got the cold cup said, he was icy. He was like a cold guy. We are so impossibly susceptible to all the stimuli around us. So that is the opposite of feeling like a cog in a machine and scrolling and buying and just going through your life and being an automaton, a word, I'm not making fun of you, that word. The opposite is recognizing that that interaction with the cashier, that interaction with your Uber driver, that interaction with the person at Delta that you asked about changing your seat, each one of these, the echoes of them, of if I can show you love, kindness, if I can show you understanding, if we can reflect each other to one another, that reverberates into the world in an innumerable way, in an incredibly empowering way. And if I was going to be kind of conspiratorial, I'd be like, and they don't want us to think too much about that because it's incredibly powerful.
Mm. Yeah.
Let's do some ketamine.
No, I'm ready. But I think I do think about that a lot though. Like when I'm walking around and I'm having a bad day at the airport or whatever, I'm tired. I think about that a lot when I'm approaching someone to get a coffee or to get whatever. And sometimes I lose this battle. Sometimes I am a little testy towards someone that doesn't deserve it. But I try to put in the forefront of my brain to walk around being like, just because I'm tired doesn't mean this person needs to feel my tiredness. Because to your point, if I give this person my tiredness, they're going to feel on some level a little tired. And that's unfair. This person's having a good day or this person's having a bad day.
Yeah.
And I'm just giving them more weight. Or I could enter the situation and be like, hey, how are you? Oh, dude, I love that scarf. Even though I probably hate it, I love that scarf. Now they get to walk around being like, I got a good scarf.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
then
yeah.
they, and.
Well, the easy example is, I think for guys is like a pretty girl smiles at you. But the reality is,
or you tell them to smile. Hey, baby,
does it kill you to smile?
Hey, you got nice stems. Let me see them jumpers. Walking around. Come on, let me see it. Make your vagina smile.
Oh my God,
that's the worst thing I've ever said.
You really did live in New York. That was authentic.
Wow. Let's see the V train. I just had to yes and. I'm bound by the law of yes and. I can't have you out there feeling kind of weird about make your vagina smile.
UCB 101.
I have to join you.
Yes, thank you. Well, let's get on the vagina
train with you.
Let's go.
It just goes from 69th Street to 69th Street.
Let's do it.
Beautiful.
Like a snake sucking his own dick.
Is there a sex shop on 69th Street? There has to be.
There, if there's not, we need
we'll
to open it.
Do it.
There's yes. a they should just call it 69th Street.
Lose the C, Anal Street.
Anal Street.
Anal Street.
There's got to be a canal in 69th.
Yeah, that's right. There's a
I
there
don't
isn't, but
think so?
There isn't.
Canal.
Guys, I already said there isn't.
Guys, hold on.
You got to pay attention.
Guys,
canal is south of house and it runs horizontal east to west.
Anyways, let's cut to the ad of go up.
He's got ocean metaphors, and he knows where Canal Street is.
He knows it.
He knows it. All I was going to say was, it's not just beautiful girls smiling at boys that can turn a day around. Every single human person has the potential. I don't mean in some superficial way. You don't have to smile or compliment a scarf, but you can connect. No. Even if you don't say anything, a connection. When somebody does some atrocity, those people are typically what? Recluses. They're usually loners. They keep to themselves. I'm trying to say, like, yes, everybody kept in the dark. It's not good. We need each other. Mother Teresa said, if we don't have peace, it's because we've forgotten that we belong to each other. So it's not just the checkout line. Like Roy Wood Jr. Had that great special called Strange Flowers. He makes the same point. He's like, that interaction at the grocery store can stop awful things from happening. And I think there's something really beautiful to that.
Does that feel empowering or scary? Because it's like, if we have that much control,
yeah,
we can get paranoid for sure. Yeah, because then it's like, I can't talk to anyone, because it's like, who's that X-Men you take the glove off and you take the power?
Wolverine.
Is it Rogue?
Yeah, it's Rogue.
Yeah, so you walk around, you're like Rogue. 69th Street. You walk around like Rogue, and
that's
understandable. Could
feel scary. And one of the things that my therapist used to say that I loved was he was like, paranoid people are correct. And there's a real power in just going like, okay, that's correct. But I'm going to choose to leave it be. Meaning there could be an earthquake right now. You could have an aneurysm right now. AI could release a gas that kills us right now. An airplane engine could fall on us right now. One of the things of life is to go, I know. That's why we relate to all of these stories where people are running into battle. Life is incredibly confusing, strange, unpredictable, and frightening. And isn't it kind of amazing that people dance and do comedy and write poetry?
In the midst of knowing this?
It's just chaos. Always been
knowing a 747 at any time can into the Laugh Factory.
Yeah, but by the way, true. But by the way, like, look, I'm not trying to say things aren't awful. They are. And there was a time that the three of us would be worried that Genghis Khan's hordes might be coming over the hill. I'm just saying it's always been pretty scary to be alive.
Yeah.
So, and it doesn't mean we shouldn't work to fix that and make it better. But there's something, I'll broaden it to comedy. When comedy sucks and I have a bad set or a weird meeting or some disappointment, or I find out my podcast's on Tubi, a liquid IV call. I take comfort in the lineage of being a comedian. I go, it sucked for me. It sucked for Chris Rock. It sucked for Jerry Seinfeld.
Uh-huh.
And you go, it's not, this sucks for me. It goes, I'm a real comic.
Yeah.
I know what it means to bomb. I know what it means to have my heart broke. I'm on the 1 yard line, have a show go away. Yeah, me too. That's the the weird branding of our people. It's bound by pain. And we actually have a community. I relate to both of you just because you're comedians. What a gift. Everybody should be so lucky to have.
I think it's nice to tell yourself that, because if somebody else told you that, it would feel hurtful. If another comic was like, yeah, why, well, a show that didn't go through, you're like, all right, well, that's you. But like, if you can tell yourself that, I feel like that's a good way to.
It's like the I Am God thing. You kind of want to pick your moments to say stuff like
Yeah.
But you're saying it to yourself.
Yeah, that's
where,
exactly
like, if your show doesn't go through, you can say, okay, everyone has had something like that.
Well, but no.
If somebody else told you.
That's exactly right. If you called me and you were going through a hard time, I wouldn't be like, well, it's all God. That's not appropriate. You
right.
know what I mean? There's relative truth and there's things that are relatively important. And you know, my wife has helped me with this. It's like, sometimes it's not, let's zoom all the way out. Sometimes it's just like, let's be human and have solidarity and sadness and mourning and grief. And maybe we need to, like, people go out to drink, people are like, let's eat some pizza, or let's just be quiet, you know? So you don't always want to just be like, you're a comic, welcome to the club. Like, sometimes you just go, sorry, your show didn't get made.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was thinking on just the scale of relatability, if it's like in a relationship where if somebody's feeling sick and you go, yeah, well, I used to be sick. Like, it doesn't feel good when somebody else is trying to, like, because then it feels like them.
Yes.
But if you tell it to yourself, yes, it's like, right. you're beating someone else to the chase, but in a positive way.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
Yeah. That's I think that's absolutely right.
It's also the odd thing when you're like, you're hungry, you're like, oh, I'm starving. And someone goes, well, the people in Africa, and you're like, I hear you. I have tons of empathy for that, but that doesn't make me less hungry. And I still want Subway. And hopefully it's on 69th and Canal. Like, I'm still hungry. You know, it doesn't help.
Subway on 69th and Canal.
Talking about don't a foot get long. The foot.
Okay.
We beat it.
The T-wall.
It's a speedy Subway.
When there's a T-wall in the building,
48 minutes in, there's my riff attempt right there. We're halfway there.
There we go.
Halfway there. We're halfway there.
Zero cows, one riff.
So you're a very knowledgeable man. If your daughter is like, hey, what's the meaning of life?
Easy. I'm just kidding.
Okay. If your bleep it daughter ever asks, you know, are you giving the sweet answer, or you're like, here's what daddy's been cooking on?
Yeah. You know what I think is great is
this country.
I've made it. I've done it.
Great.
What
country.
If the new hats say made America great? Like, we did it.
That's how we should retire. Oh, Nikes is mic drop.
Mic drop. Did it.
Mic drop, comma, LA.
Oh, my God. And then it says essential sphere of God. What I think is really cool is the more I go into my own spiritual understanding, the more I kind of have an appreciation for the classics. Meaning, you know, my daughter is like, what happens when you die, let's say. Excuse me, I'm just one of those old guys burping on a podcast.
It's totally fine.
I had a LaCroix.
Good.
You did.
I did. That doesn't explain the diarrhea, though.
Free Will.
Free Willy.
There we go. Love that movie.
Free a Liquid Willy. I haven't seen it. Nobody's seen Free Willy.
I've been to
You know what's Willy. Funny? I don't think I have.
Yeah, nobody's
It's about
seen
a whale that needs to get free.
They put it out in the 80s to give kids another way to make fun of the heavy kid. That's the only reason.
Oh,
if you were overweight, not overweight, if you were a heavier body
and
named Willy in 1989.
I mean,
Jesus. It's like being named Albert.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
See, that's the problem. I don't think parents think about what the kids are going to do to that kid's name. Did you?
Of course I did.
Well,
my daughter's name is Leela, but I like,
and Stitch.
We almost named her Labia. I'm just kidding. So I have a pretty. I think heaven. The idea that when you die, you go to God, like the classic. You're on a cloud, and everyone you know is there, or everyone who's died is there. I'm like, that's not bad. I don't need to change that. Like,
okay. It's no like, notes.
No notes. Meaning. What I would say is you're a wave and you went back into the oneness that you always were.
Mm-hmm.
But another way of saying that is like you go back into the essence of everyone who's ever been, living or dead.
Yeah.
And, you know, so I don't change it. Sometimes I say things like when you die, you go back into the great life, or you go back to where you were before you were born.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like there's something essential behind this that you return to. But
she's like, cool, I'm three.
Yeah, she's
what
like,
what does this mean?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
What's an essential?
And what does this have to
and
do with
and why am I having
Cheerios
fear of God?
On the plate in front of me?
Yeah.
But my daughter's hilarious. I don't know. She's a deaf kid. She's like goth in the way that a seven-year-old can be goth. She wants to be goth. If you saw her, you wouldn't go, that's a goth kid. But she loves like Jack Skellington. She loves Doc Martens. She loves wearing like a skeleton mask to the park. Yeah. She's like a really funny, dark kid. Yeah.
Can I ask you this? Do you think that something along the way she saw and she like had an affinity for it?
No,
or do you
idea.
Think it was always okay?
I think it was the latter. I really think she just sort of came out like with a proclivity for like the dark. That like she's always thought skeletons and Halloween, all that stuff
that's
was.
So wild.
And to be honest, I think it's fucking great. I love it. Yeah. I just Amazoned her a velvet cape with hood, and she put it on, and with we hood. Went to the park, and I'm just like, this is terrifying to everyone but me, and I love it.
Yeah, she's having a great time.
She's, but I'm a performer. I'm like, you know, yeah, however you want to be special, and I put it on, and let's just say my wife got a taste of the Red Bull.
Hey, did you just say you put your wife in a cape?
I did.
Okay.
That's pretty cool.
I don't know where it came from, but she's always liked it. She's always loved that stuff. But I don't know. It'll be interesting to see, like, the problem with my spirituality, if there is, I'll just say it. The problem with it is I think I've been exposed to some things that I would call very close to ultimate truth, like real truth. Like I've studied a lot of the big teachers and spent a lot of time. Free willie teachers, the ones that were heavy in the 80s. Mm. Yeah. That just like, the trap that I can fall in is really thinking that my way is the right way. Mm. But that's not even my concern. My concern is I think the things that I've discovered are so beautiful, like the wave in the ocean thing, for example. I don't want to ruin them for my daughter. So there's almost this restraint. Yeah.
Okay.
There's a restraint where I'm like, if I tell this to you, you'll think it's stupid when inevitably you start breaking away from me and becoming your own person. Now, I think most people don't want to have exactly their parents' beliefs. I don't know. So I'm careful with how much of that I share. I'd rather be an example of somebody that she knows that seems comfortable in the universe. And then maybe later she could go, hey, what's that about? But if I start like 7 years old being like, it's all one thing and we're all just consciousness modulating itself. Like
Christopher Hitchens is an idiot, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, stuff like that.
Richard Dawkins can suck it.
Yeah. Look at my teeth.
I think that could potentially ruin some stuff that isn't just groovy, is kind of her birthright to discover. If you climb up the mountain and find the golden whatever, you need to let other people climb. That's one of the things. That journey and finding it is like sobriety. It's very similar to sobriety. People have to have their own rock bottom. People have to go through their own steps. Mm-hmm. They have to find it themselves.
These are lottery ticket winners end up in such horrible places because they didn't work to get that money. They're just handed $2 trillion and they're like, heroin? Yeah,
exactly.
Lamborghini, heroin, mansion? Yeah.
$700 haircut and some heroin right in my dick.
Honestly, great too.
You got a haircut on your dick?
You could. Go a little lower.
Manscaped, put in the ad.
Manscaped. I think that's incredible.
Sucks.
So that is interesting. She's like, what's the meaning of life? And you're like,
you know what I would say is I would say, what, not to be a weird.
What answer? Facts, you would give say, the ChatGPT. Oh,
no, I'd say, what do you think the answer? And not to be a cornball cliche, but my daughter is pretty right on about a lot of things. Like, uh-huh. She's pretty cool. Yeah. Well, I'm very taken with my girl. I love her.
Okay, it'd be really weird if you weren't.
Yeah, I know.
Hey, my girl, she sucks. It's like, no. Yeah, sore, but she can't read yet, idiot. It'd be crazy.
I still have to wipe her butt. Like, yeah. When she's five. Yeah. She's wiping now. She's doing great.
Good job. But isn't it so fascinating, though, because I feel like when someone is that young, they do know. Like, as much as people don't think they do know,
yes.
I think they are the closest to the answer that you will ever be.
I agree. A teacher that I love that's worth YouTubing, his name is John Wheeler. When somebody asks him a question about reality, he likes to say, is this something a young child would worry about?
Yeah.
And that's a really nice place, because that present, spacious clarity is a child's everyday. Mm-hmm. And Jesus of Nazareth, he said, lest you become like little children, you won't enter the kingdom of heaven. He doesn't mean heaven when you die. He's talking about the present, living, luminous, knowing reality.
Yeah. Yeah.
So there is a clue. If you've ever held a baby, or even, I would say dogs, like certain animals, the level of complete right here-ness is a real pointer to your, I would say, to your true nature. And I used to, having a baby was such a, this is not a reason to have a baby. You got to go into that with your eyes open. But we wanted a baby. We had a baby. And the amount of time I just spent just kind of like looking at her was really incredible.
I hear this a lot. I hear this like you just, like my buddy just had a kid and he literally, that's like the only thing he says. She's like, dude, I can't stop looking at her.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I don't know what that is. And I hope to like experience that one day. I'm excited to, because it's like anyone you talk to has this like this glow, and they always go, "I can't explain it. It's just this whole thing."
And it doesn't go away. Unfortunately, I don't say this.
28 years staring at her.
Yeah. Hey, it's Jessica, me, your dad. Oh, nice. I like what I like. Wasn't he weird with her? Anyway, it doesn't go away, and I've already had to be like, give myself the note, like, don't say you're still my baby. Like, nobody likes to hear that. You keep it to yourself. But like in my mind, I look at my daughter and I'm like, that's just a long version of the baby I knew.
Yeah.
Because the eyes are the same. Yeah. Her lips are the same as they were in the sonogram. Like, I saw her in her mother's womb, like with those lips. And I look at them, but I love it. I actually talk about witnessing each other and beholding each other.
Yeah.
My daughter catches me all the time just looking at her, and we don't talk about it, but she'll just smile. And I'm like, that's what a parent is supposed to do, is you're like, I can't help but delight in you and allow you. And that's what love is. Love is like a mirror. It's not a feeling. It's like it's a gratuitous allowing. And I think it's significant that Jesus and other teachers use all this familial language. They're trying to say, like the prodigal son, you can't not be the guy's son. Like, that tie is always there. He goes off, he loses all his money, there's sex work, there's pigs, you know, he's working with pigs, which is a Jewish guy, but he was always, it's true, that was a joke. Jesus was doing a bit. He was like, this Jewish guy was working with the pigs, probably got a laugh. He was
And now we can't even eat the pork later.
He's working with it and he can't eat it. He can't even enjoy it. He's eating
dirty
turkey
money.
Bacon. Turkey bacon. But he's saying like there are bonds that are unbreakable. And I think that's one of the reasons why family, again, you could use the ocean, you could use the screen. If you're in the movie, by definition, you're on the screen. So the screen is the unchanging, knowing nature.
Wow, holy shit.
It's good. This is why they call it good news, by the way. You've never been apart from it. You can't escape it. In the best possible way. So free will, no, who cares? Relax.
Right, right. I think the problem would be to try to escape it. And that's what I think, like, you're trying to escape it. That's where depression comes in. That's where like extreme anxiety, fear. If you're
would be trying to escape your life, but escaping the background of life, which its nature is peace and happiness itself. That's sort of, this is what Rupert Spira says. The whole thing can be summarized. Peace and happiness are the nature of your being, and you share that being with everyone and everything. Mm-hmm. So no one wants to escape peace or happiness. So my daughter sometimes says, like if she's in a really bad mood, she's like, I hate this life. I don't want to be in this life, right? And I'm like, she doesn't know what she's saying. But I'm like, baby, what young people need to remember, especially this is like there's a lot of people that kill themselves, right? I'm not trying to be funny. One of the things we need to recognize is you do die. There are parts of you that die. There are versions of you that die. So instead of going like, you're just taking it to the extreme and actually ending your life, instead of saying like, what are you, nuts? Go like, no, I understand. Mm-hmm. Adolescent Pete died. Teenage Pete died.
Yep.
College Pete died. First marriage wife Pete died. Early comic Pete died. Lean into that.
Yeah.
And if you're feeling like, I got to get out of this. Suicide is not, like, I'm not the guy to address this. I'm just saying, like.
You're too tall for it.
I'm too tall. My hair is too good.
Yeah. And you got a Red Bull can of a cock.
Lean into your instinct that something needs to change, but don't take it to the material. Take it to the, I need to evolve. I'm going to evolve. I'm going to break through. I'm going to walk away from this. This part of my life will be dead. That's exciting. That's an adventure.
Yeah.
But don't get too literal with it. It would be what I would say. And that is what I say to my daughter. I'm like, baby, this part of your life will die. Like, if you're thinking like, I don't like it, trust me. The only thing you can count on is all of this is constantly changing, just
and,
like a wave.
And also too, you do have control over that, and not in like a suicide way, but you do have control over like if you want this part of your life to be over. I think it's if you do have agency with it.
Yeah.
You do. If you really feel strongly that you want to change your job or change right. your partner.
And you can do a little yes. change. The Japanese have something where they-
Don't hold your hands like that when saying that.
The Japanese have something that's really
important. Blur it.
Bush.
Yep.
Straight Bush.
Bush.
Straight Bush, little.
Yeah.
Straight Bush.
Bush Jr., two
Kurt
towers.
Metzger's right. bet. Look, this isn't my bet. This isn't my take. I'm not going to die on this hill. Metzger goes, these are their porn dicks. It's a great bet.
Funny.
These are their porn dicks.
A genuine thought he probably had watching one night.
It's too funny. Kurt Metzger. I love the guy that's here to talk about Jesus and also be like, have you heard the tiny dick joke?
But this is my favorite. This is
that's
my favorite.
The show. Yeah.
And I think that's the journey that people want to come on with you.
Yeah, I appreciate that. I hope you're right, because going back to what we were talking about at the beginning, to me, entertainment is surprise. And you're like, how do you talk about that stuff? I'm like, I want my hour, silly fun boy right now, to be like a mushroom trip. And you know when you take mushrooms, there's like the giddy part, the silly part, and there's like the weird, confusing part.
Not, you're not batting home runs the whole time.
But like, a lot of strikeouts. But like, there's also like, when you watch certain production companies chasing fan service and giving people what they want, right? Oh, you want a movie with Hans? I don't want to drag anything. I'm just like, give it to you, right?
Fast and the Furious.
The truth is, your style. The truth is, people don't know what they want. I don't mean this in like a dictator way. I'm just saying, I don't know what I want. And when I take mushrooms and I have an experience, the confusing part or the weird part was the most fascinating part. Mm-hmm. Or I watch a film and I'm like, that was so, like Marty Supreme had that heartbreaking story about the Holocaust in the middle of it.
Yeah.
What was that? Right?
Yeah.
But it compelled me. So it wasn't just what if Hulk was red. It was actually something that was as confusing and heartbreaking and mysterious as my life. And it was something I didn't know I wanted. And without being full of myself, I think we're all trying to do something interesting. And to me, a guy who is talking about Jesus and then talking about dicks, that is interesting.
Yeah.
Like a mushroom trip. Or if you don't do psychedelics, like a weird dream you had, but you can't get out of your mind. That's what Marty Supreme was to me. That's what One Battle After Another was to me. That's what a lot of these great works of art are like. Not just, hey, you like car chases, you like tits.
Yeah.
You like fucking big boobs.
Carl's Jr.
Like, give me something I didn't know I wanted. And in this day and age of like, chasing metrics and, oh, at 15 minutes, we need one ball hanging out of the guy's shorts, and at 28 minutes, we need a headshot. Great, sure. Not to be weird, but like, I'll be in the cave with the shamans. I'll be painting with weird berries. I'll be doing what human beings have done, which is spelunking into something really strange, mysterious, confusing, and fuck your metrics and fuck your marketing and fuck all of that. I don't think Paul Thomas Anderson is wondering at what, I know he's not, at what minute the inciting incident's supposed to happen.
I think we need both though. No, I do think we need both.
I agree.
I think we need the pieces of art that like make us feel like unbalanced and it's funny and but I think there is room, and I think people do need escapism at some point to just be fucking. And
that's why I didn't want to say Han Solo. I actually liked Solo. Like you'll be shocked at what I like. I was on a podcast where we were supposed to be making fun of the Flash movie.
Yeah.
And I was genuinely just like, I loved it. I thought it was so fun. So please don't, I'm not being a snob. I'm just saying like, there's something inherently mysterious and sexy and intriguing and interesting about creating art. And there can be this other thing as well. And I love both of them.
Yeah.
So it's like an album. Too. Just like an album. It's like you put out three and there's three radio hits. There's three that are interludes, kind of weird. But the people that do listen to it oftentimes like it or like, not for me, but they're still experiencing it.
That's right. And that's the clips. Those are the singles.
Those are clips. Yeah.
And then the whole special, I think if you... I don't even anticipate that many people will watch. Way more people will watch the clips.
Yeah, of course. This is how
we're in a clip economy.
We're in a clip economy.
It's the new Bitcoin.
But what's interesting about an hour is, I think it's interesting when you watch a piece of something, I think you really are being it's there's something evocative about it. It's putting you in a state. When you watch a clip, it's engaging your mind. Did I like that? Did I not like that? Mm. When you let a movie eat you, mm-hmm. like a mushroom trip, like a dream, mm. you have more of an opportunity to be touched by it or to be mm. rendered silent by it. This is just going like, don't like,
yes,
don't
no,
like.
Yes, no,
completely
yes,
different.
No.
It's fine. Yeah. Passes the time, I suppose. Yeah. But there is something. They were right. The old people were right. Like listening to In Rainbows from the beginning to the end
yeah.
is better than listening to Body Snatchers on the radio.
It's to me, it's like always like clips versus like a long form thing. It's like walking into like stores on New York City street, right? You walk into a store for 2 seconds, you go, I don't like it, and you leave. Yeah. If you just stayed in the store,
yeah.
maybe you'll experience the store in a different way and actually love the store. But a lot of times you don't give yourself enough time to like love the story. You go, I love it, I hate it, I love
that's
it, right. I hate it.
And yeah. that's what we're doing. Yeah. I mean, it's changing our brains. Everybody knows us. I saw a guy sit in a chair. He started falling in slow motion, like the chair was just giving out. Didn't even help. He was fine. But I just watched it.
yeah.
Like it was a reel.
A little like, loop again.
Where's
yeah.
this going? Yeah. Like I thought it was going to reset. It's fucking crazy. But I had an old bit about this about Google. Where it was like, we just know everything, we just look it up, when in the past we didn't know and would go out into the world and ask people. But it's very similar to like experience or knowing, or you just said buying. You could go to a store, we're confusing having the thing with the experience of shopping.
Mm-hmm.
And the three of us are just barely old enough, you two, to like know what it was like to go to the mall and look for your new Velcro wallet. But it wasn't Vulcan. About, I know, right?
Or for your girlfriend.
But that's what I was going to say is
yeah.
you might meet your girlfriend.
Yeah.
Mm.
And now we're just online dating is just jumping to the sex, yep. just jumping to the dick pics, all that stuff. Like, I know I sound like an old person, but it's true. When you give yourself to a movie, you have the experience. When you watch the clip of Leo from one battle after another, that's not the experience of watching the movie.
No.
That's not the album. That's not going to the mall where you meet your future wife.
Yeah.
And a lot of this can be solved with a dopamine detox, and a lot of this can be solved with just a little balance. Like, you don't have to completely unplug, but, like, maybe, like you said, just go to the store.
Just go to the store.
Yeah, it's an extra random thing. Yeah.
Anytime I'm feeling,
like, slow and creativity, I'm like, let me just go to a, you know, I usually go to this grocery store. Let me go to the one
yes.
One city over.
And
you're taking a different street home. You're taking a different thing. It's everything is already out there.
Yeah.
The map is out there. It's programmed. It's yeah. already out there for us.
Yeah.
But correct, it does feel that way. If you postman everything, everything is brought to you, you work out of your home, you don't leave there, you only drive to the shows.
Yeah. yeah.
Well, dude, I've said this on this podcast before to him. It's like, I have, if I'm being fully transparent, I have insulated myself in a way where now if I need to go to the store or need to do something, I literally have a certain amount of anxiety. And mm-hmm. that's the of first course. Time it's ever happened to me where I'm like, I go to a Ralph's or I go to a shoe store or go to
whatever. Ralph's
or,
is accurate.
Or, well, yeah, exactly. Rock and roll Ralph's. I mean, there's a homeless yeah. man playing his dick like a guitar. It's a whole thing.
Oh, yeah.
Do I tip him? No,
he's got
I
a
touch
machete.
The tip of his dick.
Hey, come on now.
But I had that little bit of anxiety and I'm yeah. like, oh no. Like yeah. this has never been a thing. Like it freaks me out
yeah.
so much so that I like, now I'm like, I'll go to a grocery store like on purpose. That sounds crazy, but like on purpose,
yeah.
just so I'm like, let me try to like battle this with myself. To
do you
be
like Michael Jackson back in the day? Remember how he hired? Do you ever see this? He made. Did we ever watch this on podcast? He hired actors
at a
grocery store so he could feel like he was shopping and then like not pay attention to him. Do you ever see this?
Oh no!
He was that That's famous awful. Where he hired actors to pretend like they didn't know him at a grocery store so he could have the experience of just shopping.
That's pretty heartbreaking.
That's awful.
It's insane. Also,
a bad way to spend a couple hundred grand.
Yeah. If I'm a background actor, I'm freaking out. I'm like, come on.
You're, oh yeah. I'm giving them.
Can I help you get these chickpeas?
I yeah. was once at
chickpeas
at a Whole Foods and peas. I was at a Whole Foods and Angelina Jolie was there.
Jesus, people of that caliber of fame. I'm like,
I couldn't believe it.
Yeah. What's even? Yeah.
But she, I stood still. I was like one of the background actors. I was just like, just be normal. And I just kind of stood there. I must have been weird. And she happened to just need something that was right by my head. So she just kind of like reached like around me. And I was like, this is fun. And look, everybody says this stuff, but there's some people that are just vibrating.
Of course.
Just like, it's just like, oh my God, that was like Marilyn Monroe or whoever you want to say. It's like Joe DiMaggio. It was like just a weird. I've always said she's a lot like Joe DiMaggio, but it's just like it was like
Sleepy Joe.
I can't believe you hear a Sleepy Joe.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was my.
There are people, like, it sounds weird, but we've all experienced those people that vibrate on another level, and they literally affect the temperature of the room.
I know.
I remember
people turn and walk and look at them when they walk in.
We all know Gerard Carmichael. He was the first one that I ever experienced where he would literally change the temperature of the room. He'd walk in and I could feel the difference.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, that's.
That's a charismatic person.
Yeah, you're just operating on a different level.
No, he has something. That I think Chappelle has too, which is just like, oh, I'll just listen to you talk.
Yeah.
Or in Gerard's case, not talk.
There we go.
Like, but he talks so little and quietly that when he does, heightened.
I know. He's the guy. It's like comedy edging. And I say that with all respect. Like he figured out, I'm not just going to word salad. I'm going to actually pause. And I'm like, oh, shit.
I can't use be the – I'm the opposite of that. I'm talking 1,000 miles an hour, making noises, doing fucking backflips.
Yeah.
All because of this guy.
Yeah. Yay.
Sounds like.
That's incredible. Ooh, dude, we have some people writing in. What are people saying?
Sock talk. All right. Lauren says, hey guys, I just saw a study that says men who are called daddy experience a 300% spike in testosterone.
What? By who? Their partners?
ChatGPT, really anybody at this point.
Hold on. So when their partners call them daddy, their testosterone goes up 300%?
So here we go. Sup, daddies.
Who that's from them?
It's Jack sent this in from someone. Lauren.
Oh, they're trying to up our testosterone? We just start punching.
So the question is, or the statement is, being called daddy is actually really good for you.
I'm not surprised at all. We're back to the Jordan thing.
Well, no, I mean, doesn't that make sense? I mean, evolutionary, like you want to be a dad. Like that's the entire thing.
No, it started with dads and daughters. That's where daddy comes from. And then it was co-opted by the horny people. Yes.
The stepdaughters.
It needed to.
That's who hijacked this whole thing is the stepchildren of America.
From what I can tell online, the stepkids are so horny.
And they're Somebody's getting stuck in stuff. I mean, what's happening?
Why are they trying to fix everything? Call a TaskRabbit.
I mean, literally TaskRabbit. They're
trying to fix the dishwasher. Yeah. There's guys online that can do this.
Yeah.
And why are the dishwashers so tiny?
Or why are they so large?
These are their free Albert.
Yeah, this makes sense to me. This makes sense to me. And it cues my lizard brain every single time my girlfriend calls me daddy.
Does she call you daddy?
Yeah. And I'm into it. Yeah. I'm into it. I love it. And I don't know why. Maybe because I didn't have a dad. Maybe because my dad left me when I was 6 months.
Your tea is spiking.
Yes. And she goes, daddy. And I go, where? Because he left me.
You say, I wish. Keep going.
Yeah.
Being straight is such a kink.
It's so... It's just so weird.
It's also just so embarrassing.
It's so weird.
You call her mama, she calls you daddy, and you're trying to wedge yourself into your first apartment.
Yeah,
it's fucking gross.
It's so weird.
It's so gross. And you're licking on your first food source. It's such a kink.
It's such a kink. Weird.
Yeah.
And then you get so like horny. Horny's weird.
I agree.
Oh, my foot. And then sex is, if you zoom out, so weird. What am I doing?
Yeah.
Weird. What? It's so. And then you come, and then you hate sex for like 15 minutes.
What's
going on? What is going on?
No one's
gonna answer me.
I don't know.
I've seen some pornographic films where the guy finishes and then he keeps going. Have you seen this?
Yeah, Blue Chew. Put the ad in. Yeah,
I think it's an M. Night Shyamalan thing. I think they took from earlier in the video and put it in after.
You think so?
There's no way he's still going. Was he getting paid overtime?
I think they have injected stuff into his pee-pee, and I think it comes and it stays hard, and he just keeps going.
No edits, no cuts.
I don't know why I went right to like this guy can just do it. I think my man knows what I'm talking about.
You know what I'm
talking about. Alex,
you're a double jizzer, aren't you?
I was a double jizzer when I was young.
Well, let's not go too young.
You just keep going?
Yeah.
So why all this hypothesis about injections and stuff? You used
no,
to
no,
do
no,
no,
no. I'm talking about like 14, 15, like when I first started.
Okay.
When like a wind chime would go and I would get hard and then I could go doubles. Because I would come real fast and then stay in as if I didn't come and then I could keep going until I come again.
Wow.
That does not happen now.
Wow.
But yeah, I was a double cummer back in the day.
DC,
that's who used to call me.
Washington double cum.
Yep. Washington double cum. I got that too late.
You got it.
Great title.
Like the first moment it could have been got. Like, I don't understand.
All right, we got a secret sock. Guys.
Secret sock.
It's kind of like a confession.
Hates the pod.
Hates the pod.
It's 1,000 degrees in here. I'm sorry.
It's so hot.
It is really hot. We'll get somebody to turn on the air. All right, boys, I'm on Ozempic. I want to keep this anonymous so the ladies don't find out, but I'm a little worried about this lawsuit that just came out. Apparently, Ozempic causes blindness. Should I keep going?
You can't say that. Do we know this is real?
Guy who's for sure on Ozempic trying to look it up right now.
Hilarious. That's not true.
Wait, this feels like a Jonathan and Johnson type thing, though.
Oh, you're looking it up.
This website seems legit.
This website's Drug Watch.
Ozempic lawsuits are about blindness.
Listen, guys, did we think this was going to be 100% fail? Like, there's no going to be issues?
We got really lucky with LASIK. Remember when LASIK started? You don't. But when LASIK started, everybody was like, yeah, it probably makes your brain fall out or whatever. Mm-hmm. Turns out to be pretty fine. It's been 40 years.
I think there's probably been cases where people leave Ray Charles style.
RCS?
Yeah.
Sweeping the nation, RCS.
Sorry, you have something we call RCS. What's that? Ray Charles style? These are the medical terms? Wow.
But what they're not talking about is you might be blind, but everybody can see how good you look. Yeah.
But you can't see how you look.
Yeah, but maybe that's a metaphor like what we were talking about earlier. Waves you always felt ocean. Good. Waves in the ocean.
Peace and happiness.
Your body is the ocean and the waves is, I got nothing. It's waving goodbye, but you always look good. Now you're blind to it.
I see a lot of money here. This guy's got a website. I mean,
that's all you need.
I'd love to know the validity of it.
Yeah. So his concern is that he's trying to get skinny for the ladies and he's going to be blind.
I guess so.
I mean, yeah.
Yeah. He's like, should I just keep going and get skinny and look hot? Or
I mean, I would do a ton of research to make sure that this is real. And if it's real, think about maybe cutting back a bit, but I don't know if this is real, but very,
it says fact checked right there. I don't know who checked it, but someone did
get the info from a law, like a lawyer's website. He's trying to hire you. He wants you to hire him to sue them.
Yeah.
So it probably can happen. Look, I'm not pro Zempic. That's good. My man. But I am, whenever there's a shit ton of money, like Ozempic is making billions,
yeah,
they're going to be like, drinking LaCroix made one person's dick fall off.
Yeah.
I'm not saying it was me.
Hold on. Are you missing your dick right now?
It's right here.
Where is it?
That'll give you wings.
I think this is a problem, and maybe I've said this before. This is the problem about Ozempic, right? Is anyone who's actually doing it, bless you, 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 daddy. Anyone, see? T.
300.
Who wants to watch Joe Rogan and kill elk?
Kill elk?
Kill elk?
Kill elk?
Kill elk.
Kill elk?
That's my Jewish friend's name.
For the Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Uh-huh, kill elk.
Did you watch our brother kill elk?
Mm-hmm, he was good.
Good doc.
Good doc.
Great doc.
You're the best, Mark.
Great.
Did we do it? Yeah. It's so hot in here. We did it. Listen, what a treat. What a joy.
My pleasure.
Mr. Pete Holmes,
please
thank
watch
you so much.
Silly Fun Boy. Yeah, that's all I want to say.
On YouTube right now.
It's a website.
Uploaded, premiered.
It's free.
Pete and I are in a movie coming out. We're in a movie coming out. You start in it.
When is
it?
I did not start in it.
Yeah, you were the star.
I started in it. I am not the star.
Were you not?
I was like number, I don't know.
You were the star when I was there that day.
Oh my God.
You're always the star to me. Hey. See, we did it. Look at that.
Spells to cast on your parents, the book that primes your children to feel magical. Come on.
Pete Holmes. Thank you.
Pete Holmes, what a treat, what a joy. Thank you so much. Till next time.